Welcome to the Safety Pro Roundtable. Every week on this show, you will hear from safety professionals around the industry as we talk about challenges, innovations, and stories that will help you lead a better safety program. This is the Safety Pro Roundtable.
Welcome back to the Safety Pro Roundtable podcast. This is Stacey Godbold, and I am your host. And today I'm talking to Jeremy Presnell with Shermco Industries. I love this conversation because he tells a story about how he started as an EHS manager and rose into the C-suite and what that looked like and what he had to do to get there. And I also think it's really interesting because he describes, you know, how he sees things in the C-suite now compared to how he saw them as an EHS manager. So here we go.
All right. I'm here with Jeremy.
Hi.
The second Jeremy from the same company.
That's right.
Do you guys just breed yourself over there and just multiply?
That's a really good question. I call him the smart one.
Ooh, so which one are you?
Well, he's going by JR now.
Oh.
Not as Jeremy Jr.
He didn't want to be compared to you.
Yeah,
he couldn't handle it.
Well, I guess not. I was probably the one more concerned.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So who are you with and what do you do?
So I work for Shermco Industries. We are the largest electrical testing, inspection, maintenance, engineering type services provider in North America. I'm the VP of EHS and workforce development. So I lead a team of professionals that are out there supporting the field.
All right. So you're the VP of EHS and workforce development.
Correct.
Okay. And you, I'm sure that you didn't wake up one day, just get out of school and just land in that position.
No, that's very true. That's very true. I've been in the EHS world for about 20 years.
Wow.
And I got my start early on, actually, in Southern Indiana. I was working for...
We're from the same town.
Believe it or not.
Isn't this the best?
Yes, that
talking about the old pizza
happen.
Places.
Yep.
The best. We're
sitting here
in San Antonio.
That's
we're
right.
From a little town in Indiana.
That's right. I think I started out with, well, nobody really knows where this is. Mm-hmm. It's in Indiana. It's ironic.
Okay.
But no, honestly, I was very fortunate with an opportunity through Synergy. It's Duke Energy today at a large coal-fired power plant. My father worked as a operator there for 40 some years. And, you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, they still had summer internships for employees' children that were going to college. And so I spent a couple years doing that in between my summer semesters. And I majored in health and safety management at Indiana State, Terre Haute. And you had to have an internship to graduate. So
okay.
I reached out to the power plant and asked them if they would be interested in hosting an internship. And they, of course, had not done that previously. They had already embedded programs for co-ops with engineering through Purdue, Rose Holman, other really great schools. And but they were gracious enough to give me an opportunity, which worked out really well. I got to work there at the power plant that summer. Actually, the following summer, I got to go back. They had a large construction project going on, so I got to help support a major capital projects expansion.
And a big opportunity in school.
It was amazing, and it was right around the time I was wrapping things up in school, and a full-time safety specialist position opened up in New Albany, Gallagher Station. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So I applied and was fortunate enough to get the role, so... that's kind of how I got my start. So about 2 years interning there and then got a full-time role at one of the larger coal-fired power plants and spent about 4 years there. And part of me wanted to get back to the construction side of things. I just liked the excitement and just, you know, seeing things, you know, start from nothing. And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, this massive facility and generating power for communities and just super cool.
Yeah.
And so Zachary Construction was a company I was familiar with, very large, obviously, to San Antonio. This is their home.
Okay.
The opportunity was for a large construction project, building a power plant from the ground up for CPS Energy, which is the largest municipality, I believe, in North America. Or out of here in San Antonio. And so I did that. It was a tri-venture with Zachary. Black and Veatch Engineering, TIC, which is now owned by Kiewit today. It was a really great experience for me. Probably over 2,500 employees by the time, you know, they were through the job. It was massive. And then I had the opportunity to work as an EHS manager on a large demolition and refurbishment project at another power plant up in the College Station area, which was really cool because, you know, definitely a college town. It was a really neat place. And then I decided, okay, construction's exciting, but I think I want to get back to something a little more stable, main plant operation support. Mm-hmm. So I got an opportunity with a company called Topaz Power Group. Today is known as Talon Energy. There's a lot of mergers and acquisitions going on in
that's
the utility
like.
Industry.
This is one of them. It's been five names in the last
that's
6 years.
That's right. And so, but it was a great opportunity in Corpus Christi, Texas. Mm-hmm. So they had two natural gas fired power plants there and one single cycle in Laredo. And so I was the EHS manager supporting those facilities. And that company grew rapidly. They added seven facilities in the Northeast. So my responsibilities grew as well to support those assets. And fortunately for me, the safety team grew too. So got to add a few good folks to the team. And I really enjoyed that opportunity. There was a lot of travel. I got to see the Northeast. I had never been to New York or, you know, to the DC area, Baltimore, just really, really great places. So I was just very, very fortunate with those opportunities. And, you know, the travel got to be a little too much for me personally and just the age of my kids. So Corpus Christi is home to some very large refineries. So the oil and gas industry is really strong there. That's where I got my opportunity with Flint Hills Resources, which is a Koch Industries company. So I went to work there. They had two refineries and a large shipping terminal, you know, all kind of within 20 minutes of each other. So I didn't have to live out of a suitcase anymore, and had a really, really great experience there. Just, you know, learning more about process safety management, learning more around industrial hygiene, occupational health. I mean, I had some background in it, in the utilities, but, you know, in the oil and gas industry, you certainly have a lot to learn. I'll just say that. And so I was in that role for about 2.5 years, and I was approached to see if I had interest to move back into a corporate role. And I said, yes, as long as I'm not on the road all the time. And that's when they said, well, Georgia Pacific has some opportunities within their business units. And so I accepted a role to support the OSB particle board business units out of Georgia Pacific. So it's where I met Jeremy, the guy you talked to earlier. He was my process safety manager for that business. And we worked together there for a little over 3 years, and definitely just another great learning opportunity for me. Just, you know, the leadership commitment, the employee involvement there, I felt like was really strong. And it was really cool just working for a sister company, because I still had my counterparts and friends at Flint Hills. And so, you know, we facilitated a lot of collaboration and knowledge sharing there that, you know, I think it helped both of us. But and then about 2.5 years ago, an opportunity came up at Shermco, which is in the electrical industry, which is really where I got my start. I have a very strong passion for electrical safety. So I kind of left that part out. But at Flint Hills at the time, they were looking for somebody who had a background in electrical safety to help lead a safe work practices team with implementing a new electrical safety program and training processes. And so that was right up my alley, and I really enjoyed that. And so when I moved to Georgia Pacific and became part of the corporate group as well, we had a committee on electrical safe work practices. And so I supported my business units, but as well, I supported corporately, you know, the entire, I guess, enterprise from an electrical safety standpoint. Really enjoyed that. Got involved in IEEE, the electrical safety workshop, had a couple papers, fortunately, that I was able to present on. And I've presented here a couple times on electrical safety. And so that's an area that I'm very passionate about. And so when the Shermco opportunity came up, they're known as leaders in the electrical safety space because reliable electrical equipment is generally safe electrical equipment. So I just felt like, wow, this is a perfect opportunity for me. And so I joined late January. Of course, none of us knew the curveball we were going to have coming at us, mm-hmm. right, in March with the pandemic. But, I have to say that the resiliency that the employees in the field showed there to just keep going, especially with all the unknown, was tremendous. And just, I was very proud just to be a part of that, you know, and we really, there was no playbook on managing the pandemic. I mean, some companies were further ahead along with, you know, they had policies specific to, you know, pandemics or illnesses and those kind of things. But, you know, it certainly wasn't built into our plan for 2020. I'll just say that. And, but we formed a task force, had a really great leader who took the bull by the horns on our team as our compliance lead. And, you know, it wasn't just building programs and processes for us at Shermco. It was also understanding the various requirements for the thousands of customers that we have. So it was definitely a challenge.
You've worked for a number of large companies.
Yes, yes, I have.
What's the, I guess, compared to one of the smallest companies that you worked for compared to the, you know, the largest, how do they compare?
That's a great question. So, you know, the way I look at it, the elements of a successful safety culture, it is really the same, right? You know, whether you look at it from a VPP lens of leadership commitment, employee involvement, you know, hazard prevention and controls, training, those type of things, or you want to, you know, go deeper into some of the national standards on safety management systems and those type of things. I think the key really is in the leadership commitment and the employee involvement and finding a way to connect that. I really believe that everybody comes to work, genuinely wants to do a good job. Most people don't like pain. They're not looking to get injured. You know, we, Shermco adopted human performance principles several years ago. And so, you know, I focus more on systems and error precursors versus, you know, solely looking at the worker as the cause of accidents, I think really positioned Shermco to start taking even broader steps towards safety excellence. But I think it just, you know, really, I think the challenges are there, whether it's a large company or a small company. You know, the biggest difference is just, you know, in a larger company, you may have teams with various SMEs specific to certain areas like process safety management or fire protection or insurance, where at a smaller company, you know, your team members, they wear a lot of hats, mm-hmm. you know.
Sure.
But the cool thing about it is, you know, you find partners through third parties, you network at conferences, you leverage your colleagues from past experiences, and just always remember that you can always find a solution. There's always a better way. But I think that in the larger organizations, it can be tough to, you know, connect the senior leadership teams down to the frontline workers. I think there has to be an intentional oversight process in place or some sort of forums to ensure that happens. So
it seems like the distance between the frontline worker and the C-suite is really vast when you're looking
yes.
at a larger company. It's a little
Absolutely.
Shorter distance.
Absolutely.
Figuratively.
Absolutely.
In a smaller company. So maybe it's that you have to work harder, like you said, and be really intentional about connecting those two.
That's right. That's absolutely. And, you know, a good practice that I've seen, and I believe all the businesses within Koch Industries still does today, is they have very dedicated oversight visits, and it's their VPs and directors are going to the facilities. They're walking around, they're meeting people. Sure, there's a focus on business performance, but there's also just as equivalent a focus on safety.
Sure.
and training and culture. And so I always thought that was a really good way to connect, you yeah. know, and at Shermco, you know, we host town halls. You know, the pandemic made it difficult, so a lot of things have been virtual. But one of the things that I feel like is certainly a best practice we do is there's an EHS and operations forum every month. And this is frontline leaders all the way up to the executive team, and an hour and a half. And,
wow.
and we're going through, you know, talking about learning opportunities. So knowledge shares of incidents. Good catches.
Nice.
You know, we like to showcase those
yeah.
even more than when things don't go as planned.
Sure.
But, you know, the focus is what improvements did we make to our systems, our programs, our processes. You know, it's not a blame and shame on the employee mm-hmm. or the supervisor.
That feels nice. Good God, nobody wants to feel like that.
Well, all it does is it erodes trust.
Yes.
Right?
It's
not, you know, you want people to feel comfortable coming up and saying, hey, you know, we don't actually use this policy or this assessment tool like that, and here's a better way, or this just doesn't work, and it's okay for them to tell us that. And
yeah.
all right, well,
it's a safe place
that's,
to just communicate.
That's
exactly.
right. That's right. It's not okay to not do anything.
Yeah.
We have to do something, but tell us what it is that works best, and we'll work with you to implement it. I mean, I think it's proven that people typically they are much more inclined to follow or use things that they help build and are a part of, right?
Yeah.
So,
oh, absolutely. Taking ownership of it.
And our leaders actually are the ones that are facilitating the conversations. And so that's something that I think is a best practice by far, you know, and it doesn't stop there. So the learning opportunities, we call them communicate to eliminate, or good catches, great things, we call communicate to duplicate. Our leaders then take those and share with their frontline. And
I like communicate to duplicate.
Yeah,
can
pretty
I use
clever.
That? You, can I take it?
You definitely
do
can.
I have to like, do I have to give you the credit?
No,
can
definitely
I just say
not.
It was me?
No,
okay.
I wish I could
That's
take
really
credit
good.
For it. Somebody on our team came up
That's really
with
good.
That, but
thank you for joining us on the Safety Pro Roundtable. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EH software in the industry. If you're ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospis.com/podcast. That is www.sospes.com/podcast. We'll see you next time on the Safety Pro Roundtable.